of heights to the depths of the sea.
It's always been about the heart. And the Pharisees, again, were focused on the externals. And what did Jesus say to them in Matthew chapter 6? He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the play actors, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Look at how beautiful I am with my robes and everything is just so. My beard is nicely trimmed and I even have a, you know, like a Sean Connery accent." Right? And they're speaking and everyone's going, "Wow, they're amazing." And they're praying for so long.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Jesus said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Considering the incredible devotion to the law shown by the scribes and Pharisees, how can we ever hope to exceed their righteousness? Though the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was impressive to human observation, it could not prevail before God. We are not made righteous by keeping the law. When we see what keeping the law really means, we are thankful that Jesus offers us a different kind of righteousness. Now here's Pastor Rob.
Is that a solution? Why can't we just tell people, regardless of skin color, that you are made in the image of God and God loves you? Really? Right? Why can't we just do that? And that's what we intend to do at Boca. All that other stuff, they can have it, but not here. There'll be none of it here. And as Jesus said this to his disciples, that unless their righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, they would by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. This seemed like, to the disciples at that time, an impossibility because the scribes and the Pharisees were considered the upper crust. They were the high mighty, the holy rollers, the holier than thou. That's what they were. And everyone is like cowering in their presence. They're so holy. And God is saying, no. Your righteousness has to exceed that. And the scribes and the Pharisees taught the law, but they were not obedient to the law. What does it tell us in Matthew? In Matthew 23, in the four verses, Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so therefore, whatever they tell you to do, to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." In other words, they talk the talk, but they didn't walk the walk. And Jesus said, do what they tell you, because they were the Pharisees knew the word of God, and they would agree with a lot of the things, that they just didn't do it. They got to the point where it became a business, where it became a hierarchy. They are up there, and we are all here, just like little birds trying to get food from the master. And God's saying no. They were focused in the externals. See, many people like to talk the talk, but not many are willing to walk the walk. Many are content to appear righteous on the outside, while on the inside there's a different reality. The Bible calls these people hypocrites. Play actors. They appear one thing, they have a mask on, they're falling apart on the inside, they're completely washed up, and they're completely in their sins, and they have the mask on that has the smile on the face. I'm well, you're well, and everybody's well. You know? That's what a hypocrite is. And the American church is full of hypocrites. There are times that I unwittingly play the hypocrite. And every one of us at some point could probably be called a hypocrite. Because I'm not consistent. But the Pharisees were hypocrites because they displayed one thing outwardly, but inwardly a whole different thing. In Matthew 23, Jesus would go on and he would nail them to the wall, so to speak, and says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you play actors, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lustness." Yes. He was hard on the religious leaders because they were the ones who were supposed to be leading people to Christ. They were the ones who were supposed to be the examples and telling people the truth, but instead they were making a lot of money. Does that sound like the church in America? Unfortunately, it does. People more concerned about money than men's souls. God doesn't care about money. Is it necessary? Yeah, to keep the lights on and all that stuff? Yes, it is. And to give, all that stuff is important. But is it his main thing? No, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. So what are we? Am I one of these? Do you act one way when you're in church and when you're around Christians? In a different way when you're around family, friends, and co-workers? The Lord would have it that we are one way, that regardless of where we are and who, whatever company that we're keeping, we're consistent, we're the same. That's when I'm being genuine. That's when I'm really being who I really am. Regardless of where I am, regardless of who I'm in front of, I'm the same. What you see is what you get. If I don't swear here, I'm not going to be swearing on the job site. If I'm not smoking marijuana in the church, I'm not going to be smoking it at home. If I'm not going to be committing adultery or talking about adultery in the church, I'm certainly not going to practice that at home. But that's why we'll see in verses 21 through 30, which we may not get today, where Jesus speaks to the heart of the law. The heart of things, not just the externals. Again, we all put on the externals and doesn't cut it. From God's perspective, he's like, I could care less about what you think you look like. The air that you put off, the things, the package that you've created so that everybody can see and go, wow, that person is so holy and everything. And yet in their home life, there's all kinds of awful things happening, but nobody sees that but God. And it breaks my heart because we've seen that in the church. You know, there's this display of everything's fine and everything's going well and nobody knew, but all the time, for years, things have been happening that are just amazingly sinful. Years go by, and then finally the Lord says, you know what, I'm not going to allow this anymore. I'm going to expose you because you would not repent. And these things happen in every fellowship. And that's why it's important that we take these things seriously. The heart of the issue. It's the heart of the issue, not the externals. Yes, I may not commit adultery physically, but what is my thought life? I may not murder somebody physically, but what is the attitude of my heart? Do I hate them? Am I harboring bitterness in my heart? Is it like a cancer that's eating me so that I, you know, at some days it starts to boil over like a seething pot? And we see the same principle in the Old Testament. It wasn't just a New Testament or a New Testament ideal. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel was speaking to Saul, and God had told Saul to go and kill. This is Israel's first king. He told him to go and kill the Amalekites. Yes, wipe out everything and everybody. Because their sin had been mounting up to heaven, God finally said, that's enough. I'm going to judge the whole nation. I'm going to judge that whole people group. And Saul, I want you to take the Israeli army, and I want you to root them out. And Saul says, okay, I'll do that. But in the process of doing that, he sees some of the livestock and some of the nicer things that God says, I want you to destroy it all. And he says, no, I'll keep a few of these, you know, these Angus cows. I'll just kind of put them behind me. I'm thinking of filet mignon later. I'll put them behind me and some of the fatlings. I'm going to put them over here. Yeah, get rid of the ugly ones, the, you know, the ones mole on the eye, and I'll just get rid of them. But we're going to keep all good stuff. And I'm going to keep Agag. I'm going to keep alive too. He might be useful to me. And so finally, Samuel approaches him, and he says, remember the passage. And he approaches, Samuel approaches Saul, and Saul says, I've done all that the Lord has told me to do. I've fulfilled the law. I've done all those things. And Samuel says, well, what's this bleating of the sheep I hear? What's behind door number two over there, Saul? Something, you know, there's a smell of cow back there. What did you do? What did you do? And so Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as an iniquity and idolatry. You think you've done the letter of the law, but you've missed everything. You've disobeyed God. You see, even in the Old Testament, it was the heart of Saul. God told him very clearly what to do, but he had a better idea. Aren't you glad you have ideas that are better than God's? You're right. God one thing, you're like, you know, we can accomplish this much quicker, much leaner. Have you been to Lean Six Sigma? Have you been to the Fortune 500 classes? Because we can do this a lot more efficiently if you would just call upon me, your humble servant. And God's going, no, I got a better plan, and it's much better. And yes, it's not going to be easy. Yes, there's all kinds of forks in the road that you can take, but they're all going to lead you away from my central blessing. Do you want to go in a circular way and spend 40 years out in the desert? Well, take door number one, but I've got this choice for you, and will you be obedient? Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, you're going to go through spiritual attack. Yes, you're going to fail, and you're going to feel like a complete failure, but I'm going to work through it. And I'm going to see you through it. Are you willing to go down that road less traveled? Or are you going to go the road that's got all the footprints? And Saul was the one who said, I'm going to go where everybody else has gone. I'm going to do what I want. Because I've got a better idea. After all, we'll sacrifice those beautiful, you know, Angus cows to God. And won't he be blessed to have this really choice meat on the altar? And God's going, no, I'd rather have obedience. I'd rather have you obey. And the same is for us. So even in the Old Testament, this was true, the heart of the matter. And what did he even tell Samuel when he went to Jesse's sons? And we're going to have to stop here in a few minutes. But what did God say to Samuel as God told him to go to Judah and to go to Jesse specifically? Because Jesse had 8 sons. And 7 of them were standing there before Samuel, and God told Samuel that one of those he was going to anoint the king. And so 7 of them here are right there, you know, sort of like that little sticker you see on the back of SUVs, you know, the families and, you know, top to the bottom. Well, there they are. And the 8th one, we don't know, we don't really care about him. But now the 7th, you know, the firstborn, Eliab, there he is, you know, handsome. He's got the blonde hair. He's got the, you know. And Samuel goes, that's him. That's him. That's the king that God is going to anoint. And you know what the Lord told Samuel? Remember, he says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his outward appearance. Do not look at his outward appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's always been about the heart, hasn't it? It's always been. And no different in the New Testament as in the Old Testament. It's always been a heart. And the Pharisees, again, were focused on the externals. And what did Jesus say to them in Matthew chapter 6? He said, and when you pray, You shall not be like the hypocrites, the play actors, for they love to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Look at how beautiful I am with my robes and everything is just so. My beard is nicely trimmed and I even have a, you know, like a Sean Connery accent. Right? And they're speaking and everyone's going, wow, they're amazing. And they're praying for so long. And they just keep going, wow, they're just something. For they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you go to pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. See, with God, it's always about the internal reality. So today and this week, I want to encourage you. You know, there are many fellowships in the country, many churches. Don't we want to be a church? And I'm not speaking about us, but in America, don't we want to be the type of church that is rightly fitted for what God has for us this day and this time and this culture that we're living in? Don't you think that He has a plan for us? And especially now, does He have a plan for the church to reach outside these four walls, to tell people that are hurting and lost? They have no idea what's happening, what's going to happen, but yet God has told us what's happening. I know exactly what's going to happen. And so do you. If you've been in this church for the last 40 years or the last 30 years, you know what's coming because we've been taught it from here. And we see the Braxton Hicks contractions already, don't we? We see these things beginning to come to pass, and if we are wise, we will wake up from our slumber, and we will give our hearts unreservedly to Jesus Christ again and say, Lord, I've been playing church, I've just been doing my thing, but Lord, today, I want to rededicate my life and my heart back to You. I'm done playing the games, I'm done playing church, I'm done coming in and putting on a facade and saying, well, I'm okay, how you doing? Great, brother. And deep down, you're dying inside. Why not just be honest? Why can't we be honest again? When somebody asks you, how are you doing? Say, are you sure you want to know the answer? Because it's going to take about 10 minutes. Are you ready? And if so, then let's go talk. Because I got an earful that I'm going to give you. And may we be those people saying, I'm ready. Because I got an earful too. And let's build each other up. Let's confess these things to each other and love on each other. And instead of being enemies to one another and sizing each other up, no, let's forget about all the sizing up and let's just get real. And let's just help each other and love each other and be honest with one another instead of putting on the mask, playing the hypocrite, the externals. God hates externals. And it's hard for people to understand, isn't it? When you are real and you're genuine, but they know something's different about you when you are genuine. Now, sometimes, don't get me wrong, you have to give a glib answer, you know. You may be late to your job and says, hey, how you doing? I'm fine, kinda, and then you gotta go. You don't have time. But you know what? There ought to be people in your life that you can invest in, that you can report to, that you can be accountable to. Maybe another Christian, brother or sister who has been in it longer than you have. Someone you can trust. And trust takes time to build, doesn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. It's not something you can just, you know, give your trust. I love when people say that. Well, you're a Christian. You need to trust me. It's like, no, I don't. I don't trust you. Trust takes time. And right now, you're not on a very good footing. It takes time. If you're honest and you say you're going to do what you're going to do and you do it, that's, you're building a foundation in my trust for you. But if you're not trustworthy, you're like shifting sand, you know, just kind of mercury. You're just kind of sliding everywhere. So we need to be that, those examples. Let's focus on the internal. That's what God wants for each of us, the internal reality. Who am I in Christ? Who am I, God? And what do you want to do with me? So if that is your heart, If that is your heart, Lord, I want to be done. I want to be done with my facade. I want to be done with putting on airs in front of people. If that is your heart, stand with me and let's pray. I know I put you in an awkward position because anyone who's seated, everyone's going to look at. Thought you called yourself a Christian. So I apologize if I did that to you, but sort of, I apologize, but not really. It's okay. Let's pray. And you know what? The Lord, I want to encourage you that Jesus loves you. And you know, we didn't really get into the really hard part of this message yet. We'll finish it next week. But I want to encourage you that even though the Word of God sometimes grinds us to powder sometimes, it really challenges us. It's supposed to do that. If you're a son or a daughter of Christ, then expect to be chastened. Expect for those things to happen. And I expect it too. And he does that to me as well. And therefore, I know that I have a loving Heavenly Father. If my Father never cared about what I did and just says, you know, just feel it. Just go and have fun. If that was his attitude, he really doesn't love me because he knows there are dangers out there that are going to destroy me. Destroy me physically, but even destroy my faith in God. But God says, no, I care about you. I care about your eternal, but I care about you right now. I care about everything about you right now. Your rent that's due. I care about the mortgage that you got to pay. I care about the food that you got to pay for, which is 3 or 4 times higher than it was a few months ago. I care about all of these things. He does. He cares. So, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And, Lord, would you just help us this week, Lord, to focus, Lord, on the internal things. Lord, help us to be done with those externals, the things that we can fool each other with. We can fool our family. We can fool our employer. We can even fool our wives, our spouses. But, Lord, we cannot fool you, Lord. Help us to be genuine. Help us not to be like the Pharisees who looked one way and did one thing, but inside there was a complete different reality. Lord, may we be those people that what you see is what you get. With all of our flaws and ticks and problems, Lord, may we just be honest with you. And Lord, help us in this, Lord. To you be the glory and the honor and the strength and the wisdom, Lord. It all belongs to you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you would just shine your light upon my brothers and sisters, including myself, Lord. Shine your light upon us. Lord, give us that unction, Lord, that love, confirming your love, even as you have to do difficult things sometimes in our life, God, for our own good. Lord, would you please show yourself strong and loving toward us today? And protect our brothers and sisters, Lord, from the fowler, Lord, from the devil's devices. Protect us as men to be pure with our eyes, with our mind. Lord, help us with all these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you.
That's the end of our lesson for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-310. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there's any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.